From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. In the wake of George Floyd's killing by Minneapolis police, the city of Ketchikan released a statement condemning racism and police brutality. But as KRBD's Eric Stone reports, some members of Ketchikan City Council wanted it to go further, leading to pushback from members of the police department and members of the public.
It all started in the days shortly after the police killing of George Floyd. Two residents asked the Ketchikan City Council to release a statement condemning racism and police brutality. Here's one of them, Jason Baldwin.
So I too would like to ask for the city to loudly condemn the murder of George Floyd and to work with the police department to provide some clear guidelines as to how the department would handle a potential abuse of power case.
The council agreed. Ketchikan City Manager Carl Amelon presented the results, a one-page letter reprising the police department's mission statement. It emphasized that many of KPD's officers grew up here in Ketchikan, and that the city council is committed to continually reviewing and improving police policies. It condemned racism and acts of police brutality. But some on the city council felt that didn't go far enough.
I guess I was hoping for some more action items on this, of what they're doing. It was a quote of their mission statement, and again, this reassurance that they're going to uphold their oath.
City Council Member Emily Chappell.
And that seems like the minimum, right? Yes, you should uphold your oath and your mission statement. So I would like this to be strengthened before we approve it.
Amelon suggested that council members take a crack at it themselves. So Chappell teamed up with two other council members, Dave Kiefer and Janalee Gage. The trio's July 2nd statement laid out concrete action. It asked for clearer policies for body cameras worn by Ketchikan officers, more de-escalation and mental health training, and a revision of the department's use of force policy. It also dug into the past. The statement recalled images of Ketchikan's history of segregation prior to statehood, and the statement pointed to the disproportionate number of people of color in Alaska's prisons today as evidence of racism within the criminal justice system. It called racism a public health crisis. That set off a firestorm of criticism.
It reads more like an indictment. It reads like an opinion piece framed as a conclusion.
That's Ketchikan Police's head of investigations, Andy Berenson, addressing the city council on July 2nd.
We're left to assume that there's been some kind of investigation that's identified areas that need improvement, that center on hot-button national topics and talking points.
Berenson said he was concerned about what he called a, quote, deep-seated conflict of interest among council members. That's an apparent reference to Chappell's work with the Public Defender's Office. Others showed up to share their own experiences.
It would be naive of me to tell you that racism does not exist in our small community, because it does. It is not abnormal for me to encounter racial slurs from citizens while on duty.
That's Officer Kevin Manabat.
But I would like to inform you all here today that I have not seen anything that remotely resembles racism within our department. I'm very proud of my Filipino heritage, and I'm very proud to be a part of the Ketchikan Police Department.
Officer Daryl Nichols said he'd been a police officer for more than two decades. He said senior KPD officials were leading the transformation.
When I came in, Chief White, Deputy Chief Mattson, and Lieutenant Berenson were given a task to change culture.
And he says that's well underway, but
these things take time. Changing culture takes time. Progressive change takes time.
Numerous community members also came forward in support of Ketchikan's police department. Police Chief White thanked them for speaking up.
I am very saddened that I have to come tonight to help defend my officers and my department against something that happened down south that we all agree was a complete tragedy.
Councilmember Chappell said she was surprised at the response from the seven current and former police officers who spoke out.
Not one of those officers reached out to me and asked me about the intention, and never once were we trying to insinuate that Ketchikan's police officers were racist. So I just want to say that. That was not the intention.
She said she'd asked to include a police officer on the committee revising the statement, but without formal direction from the city council, City Manager Amelon denied that request. She said she'd personally had nothing but good experiences with the Ketchikan Police Department, but she called out what she termed the department's defensiveness in the face of criticism.
The chief said to the community, thanks for backing us. And I want to ask you, Chief, against what enemy? Who's the enemy?
You.
What did I...
All right. Not a debate.
That is fascinating.
The council voted 6-1 to approve the original, shorter statement. Councilmember Emily Chappell cast the lone vote in opposition. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
The Rasmussen Foundation announced the 2020 winners of its Individual Artist Award program earlier this month. 36 Alaska artists received funding for everything from sculpting to printmaking to choreography. Multimedia artist Sarah Campen, who grew up in Sitka, was among those honored with a $7,500 project award. She'll use the funding to complete a multimedia dance performance about salmon processing. KCAW's Aaron McKinstry brings us the audio profile of Campen and her work.
My name is Sarah Campen, and I grew up in Sitka. I believe I moved there when I was 6 weeks old. Now I live on Tas Da, which is also named Lemmiger Island. And yeah, I'm right here in the middle of Icy Strait. Got a big batch of water south of me and north of me. Ever since I was a very young person, I have been drawn to movement. Some of my very earliest memories are of dances that I made for myself. I'm really interested in creating stories through movement and telling stories through movement. You know, there's thousands of years of dance history here in Alaska. You know, there's amazing Tlingit dance and Haida dance and Yupik dance, Nupiaq dance, right? There's this amazing culture of cultures of dance tradition that are really of this place and are reflective of the life and culture of this place. And so I'm certainly not the first person to ask this question of what would it be to make Alaska specific dance. But what I am doing and can do is, you know, in my person as somebody who is more trained in Western dance styles of ballet and contemporary and jazz, how I can take that and then combine it with the pedestrian movements that I see and that I participate in. You know, these things that so many of us do, right? We haul totes of gear in the rain, we load boats, we unload boats, we walk on the beach, we harvest food, we lift a lot of heavy things, we jump in our kayaks, right? It's like a lot of very specific work that involves strength and a certain movement pattern. And so I've started to think about, you know, how can I mix that with elements of dance and basically build dance from those gestures. What I propose doing is building the dance and then also building an audio soundscape that is that highlights interviews with people, you know, particularly with commercial fishers, with you know, family members, friends, people who are close to me, to talk about that process. It's just really awesome. You know, there's not that many pockets of funding for that. And so it's really a special thing that the foundation does for Alaskan artists.
The University of Alaska system has a new interim president, Pat Pitney. Pitney is the director of the state's Legislative Finance Division and a former vice chancellor of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She has also worked as the state budget director under former Governor Bill Walker. UA Regents selected Pitney from a group of five finalists on Tuesday. She will serve as interim president for at least a year as Regents search for someone to permanently fill the position. The prior UA president, Jim Johnson, abruptly resigned in late June. He faced escalating calls to step down after making controversial comments about diversity and the PFD during job interviews in Wisconsin. Pitney will take over the lead of UA on August 1st. The city of Gustavus passed a mandate this week requiring that people wear masks or cloth face coverings when outside their homes. The mandate applies to all city buildings, grocery and retail stores, restaurants and bars, except when customers are eating or drinking, and even outdoor areas like docks, when social distancing isn't possible. The mandate includes exceptions for young children and people with certain medical conditions or hearing or speech problems. The community of about 450 people has seen one case of COVID-19 so far. An airline passenger tested positive after arriving at the local airport in June. The mandate is in effect until October 1st. and Sitka will relocate a statue of a Russian colonist accused of enslaving Alaska Natives while the area was under Russian control 2 centuries ago. This is KTOO News.